It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. And thank you to the team, producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I want to say thank you to Amanda as well. We've got an amazing technical team as well. And we have technical challenges. That happens with live radio. And as many of you know, I'm actually still broadcasting remotely. I am in Lander, Wyoming today, had been in Western Wyoming for last week, and it certainly presented some challenges, and I thank all of you for your patience with us. We always have great content, amazing guests, but sometimes this broadcasting remotely can be a little tricky, so we really do appreciate you and your patience with us. But it is so important that we look at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And remember that it's not compassionate. And many times, under the guise of compassion, those that are tyrants, they want to take away so much of what we as everyday people have come to really appreciate. So it's not compassionate to take other people's rights, property, freedom, livelihood, opportunities, or lives. And force can be a weapon, obviously, but policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, the World Economic Forum, the Davos globalist elites, the United Nations, the Colorado State Legislature, the Colorado governor. It's important that we will continue to hit that one home, because Polis may be trying to make a move to run for president over on the Democrat side. And we need to shed truth and light on what has happened out here in Colorado. This beautiful city that I love, Denver, has become dangerous and dirty. And we don't want that for the whole country. We need to reclaim our state. But then also the World Health Organization and ballot initiatives. And one of those ballot initiatives, which needs to be voted down, and that is a question that will be on the ballot in November on the Denver ballot, and that is to basically shut down a business. It's a lamb processing plant. It's been in business since the early 60s. It is it's employee owned, and there's going to be a question to just shut that business down in Denver. And my friends, you may think about it, you may say, oh, I don't really eat lamb, I don't see what it matters because it doesn't affect me. When tyrants start to use different methods, in this case a ballot initiative, to take away people's property, at some point in time you are going to be on the platter as well. And so we must stand for property rights across the board. At the show, we focus on issues, not the people or personalities. There's a lot of people personalities always, and that always evokes so much emotion. So let's focus on the issues, talk about the people that are pushing those issues, but we focus on people, not personalities. As I mentioned, we are on location in Lander, Wyoming, and with me is my good friend, Yvonne Paez. Yvonne, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, and good morning, Kim. Good morning, Colorado.
And this is quite the little adventure. I was in Western Wyoming and was going to drive back, and you and I talked about this museum in Du Bois, Wyoming. It is a museum of military vehicles, and I've been wanting to get to it. I've heard it's pretty amazing. Du Bois is a little town. I think it's like 911 people. It's not very many people there.
In the middle of Wyoming.
Amazing landscapes. absolutely amazing landscapes that we've come through. So you flew into Jackson on Saturday morning. I picked you up. We messed around in Jackson a little bit and then went out to the Jackson Lake Lodge for just a little bit and looked at the Tetons. Jackson Lake just butts up right next to the Tetons. Amazing. And it was inspirational to me, Yvonne, because as we are looking at all of the things that we are facing in our country right now and all the evilness, because we're going to talk about Protect Kids Colorado, all the evilness coming after our children, it reminds me that God is in charge. The fact that he has created all of this, he is in charge, and we must do our part. It's been attributed to George Washington. He says, what do? We pray, we work, and we leave the rest to God. And it is those three things. But anyway, we're on this little adventure driving back to Colorado. I will be in studio tomorrow. And I have to thank producer Joe. It has been, from a technical standpoint, it's been a really challenging week. And Joe, I just want to say thank you for your flexibility and not going crazy with all this, because you and I strive for excellence, both on the show, the guest selection, and we try to do the best that we can from a technical standpoint. But I also, it's important to me to be able to do these remote shows. And Joe, I thank you so much. He must be doing all kinds of there's technical That's difficulties right. with the station. So your comments on God's creation, Yvonne.
You know, just like you said, when you look at those mountains, when you look at just the beauty across this country, you know you are in God's country and you know that God has a plan. There is no doubt. And I would love to put a plug in for the National Military Vehicles Museum. You hear that and you think it's going to be somebody's collection and you're just going to go see some little thing. This thing is so impressive. I invite everybody in Colorado to take a little trip up to Du Bois, Wyoming, and check out that amazing museum.
Yeah, it's privately funded, and apparently $100 million has gone into it. And in particular, they have World War II, the Korean War, and the young historian who was the guide. It was super impressive. And then we, after a while, so much great information through the whole Vietnam component of the museum. I need to go back because I was getting a little brain overload. But they have this part where you actually go through what would be a Vietnam jungle, and then little places that you could hit a button and it would show what the danger was. It was so well done. I would highly recommend it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, a lot has happened. And a lot has happened. Last Saturday, obviously, a week ago Saturday, was the assassination attempt upon Donald Trump. Then this weekend, Joe Biden has issued a letter in a tweet that he is not going to run for reelection. So I thought this was a really appropriate word of the day. It's a noun, and it is switcheroo. It's switcheroo. First definition could be an unexpected variation or reversal. Number two, a sudden and unexpected change or reversal of position, attitude, or action. Or number three, a sneaky, unexpected, or clever swap or exchange. And I'm not sure anybody was really surprised with Joe Biden announcing he's not going to run for re-election and the switcheroo to Kamala Harris. But I thought it was an excellent word of the day, Yvonne Paez.
Sounds good to me. And yes, I don't think it was a surprise. He's not well. So it was going to be something that was going to happen at any moment.
Yes. And so we have that switcheroo. However, and your challenge, my friends, is to use that word of the day in a sentence today. That should not be too difficult to do that. But I really think there will be another switcheroo. And I think Polis is waiting in the wings. Those of us in Colorado know that Polis has his eyes on the presidency. And when we've talked about it, there's been those that said to me, he's going to wait 4 more years. He's not ready. But when an opportunity like this presents itself, you can guarantee it that there's going to be a lot of jockeying of position here. And one of the news articles that I looked at said that some of the potentials are Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer. They didn't have Polis in that name. I can't believe Gretchen Whitmer. She's what a tyrant. Don't you remember during COVID, the governor of Michigan, that she said you couldn't go to the hardware store to buy seeds? I mean, you talk about a tyrant. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Our quote of the day, because also at the Museum of Military Vehicles in Du Bois, Wyoming, there is an actual whole George, something dedicated to George Patton. So I thought George Patton would be a great quote for the day. And George Patton was born in 1885 in San Gabriel, California. He died in 1945 from an accident, from injuries from a Jeep accident, a Jeep rollover. And he was a U.S. Army officer, was an outstanding practitioner of mobile tank warfare in the European and Mediterranean theaters during World War II. His strict discipline, toughness, and self-sacrifice elicited exceptional pride within his ranks, and the general was colorfully referred to as old blood and guts by his men. And he said this, he said, better to fight for something than to live for nothing. And I love that, Yvonne. And that's where we are right now. We are fighting for the fabric of our country. And there is really strict divisions between the Kamala, whatever, ticket and the Trump, J.D. Vance ticket. So better to fight for something than to live for nothing. All right, this day in history, the five things that I selected was 1893, Catherine Lee Bates writes America the Beautiful in Colorado. And then two weather events long before we were enjoying our freedom of mobility in our cars, long before we had air conditioning in our homes and heat to just press a button and heat in our homes in the winter. 1926, 105 degrees Fahrenheit in Waterbury, Connecticut, which is still a state record, it says. All this is from On This Day in History. Oh, and I should give the source for George Patton, and that was from Britannica. Another weather event, same year, 1926, 108 degrees in Troy, New York, state record. 1937, the U.S. Senate rejects FDR's proposal to enlarge the Supreme Court. Remember that. 1937, that was even before the war started. He was in early.
Some of these ideas are not new.
No, they're not. And then in 1943, U.S. forces led by General George S. Patton liberate Palermo, Sicily. And I talk a lot more about later in the war because the veterans that I've interviewed were young guys, but that was 1943, 1944, 45. I just hear more stories of the campaign in northern Africa and then moving up into Europe via Italy. One of my uncles actually flew. He was a bombardier on a bomber, and they were based in Sicily. No, he was based in, my dad always said, the heel of the boot, and flew those bombing missions up over Germany. And so there's so much to talk about on all of this. Next thing, the first thing that I just thought this might be good to unpack this just a little bit. It's not very long. Joe Biden was not, did not do a in-person press conference to announce that he's not going to run for president. I think he's failing significantly and quickly. But let's just run through this. This is the letter this was tweeted out. My fellow Americans, over the past 3.5 years, we've made great progress as a nation. What do you think, Yvonne? High inflation, division, the world is less safe. Anything else you want to throw on there?
Well, we've made some good progress, and we've made some not so good progress, like you just mentioned. So we need to make sure that where we're going, if we do something that we're not supposed to be doing, it doesn't work out, that we quickly turn on our heels and redirect that. You know, we will try a lot of things, but we have to be quicker to assess when something isn't working or it's going in the wrong direction and immediately terminate that and look for other things.
Right. And so today, this goes on to say, today America has the strongest economy in the world. I don't think so. We have significant debt. And I think that I take issue with that. He said, we've made historic investments in rebuilding our nation. Well, we remember the Inflation Reduction Act. That was actually one of the causes of inflation. And that was really a cronyist piece of legislation because it was getting all of this money over into those with the quote-unquote Green New Deal, which we figured out the green in the Green New Deal is the money that goes into cronies and politicians' pockets.
Exactly. You have to really watch those names like Inflation Reduction and Green New Deal, because when it has those kinds of names, you can almost trust that it's doing exactly the opposite.
Exactly. And lowering prescription drug costs for seniors, well, a free market could do that. And expanding affordable health care to a record number of Americans. How many people think that health care is affordable?
Not very many.
Yes. But they think, and you can rest assured that Joe Biden did not write this. This was written by the controllers. And this is a message to send to us. Okay, pass the first gun safety law in 30 years. Wait, that's an assault upon the Second Amendment. Appointed the first African-American woman to the Supreme Court. What about meritocracy?
Right. It's great if it's the first African-American woman, but you shouldn't taunt these things by colors. You know, the first tallest person, the first shortest person, the first large person, the first skinny person. How about the most talented people we can find? And they will come in all sizes, types, and colors.
Absolutely. And he said, and passed the most significant climate legislation in the history of the world. America has never been better positioned to lead than we are today. He says, I know none of this could have been done without you, the American people. Together, we overcame a once-in-a-century pandemic. Well, that's a whole nother discussion. How did that happen? And the world economic crisis since the Great Depression, which was all caused by PBIs. We protected and preserved our democracy. Wait. Aren't we a constitutional republic?
Indeed we are.
Wasn't it funny this weekend we were talking with someone and explaining that I did this radio show and what we were doing. And I could tell he was trying to ascertain who we were. Two women on a road trip. He asked us this litmus question. What was that?
Yeah, he put us to the test and he said, so what are we? Are we a democracy or are we a constitutional republic? And in unison, we both said, constitutional republic.
And he smiled and said, okay, we can have a conversation here. And then this letter goes on to say, and we've revitalized and strengthened our alliances around the world. Really? The world is a lot more dangerous than when Donald Trump was in office. So he goes on to say, it's been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. And while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week, then fill in the blanks to whatever. Okay. In more detail about my decision. For now, let me express my deepest gratitude to all those who've worked so hard to see me reelected. I want to thank Vice President Kamala Harris for being an extraordinary partner in all this work. And let me express my heartfelt appreciation to the American people for the faith and trust you have placed in me. I believe today what I always have, that there is nothing America can't do when we do it together. I do agree with him on that. And we just have to remember that we are the United States of America. This is spoken by, I agree with him on that, but this is spoken by a man who has created so much division in our country. And again, identified people not as individuals, but in groups. For example, his mentioning the first African-American woman appointed to the Supreme Court. Again, we don't have to have the descriptors. We just will appoint.
How about Americans? Good, honest, qualified,
Americans.
Talented Americans.
What do you think about that? So several things. The show comes to you because of our sponsors. Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas have been gold sponsors of the show for many years. And it's so important because reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy is what powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. And we were talking with someone whose son is in the oil and gas industry, but not in Colorado. He says they have pretty well shut things down in Colorado. And this is a direct assault upon, again, us, fueling our hopes and dreams, our amazing modern life, as we talked with Rick Turnquist on Friday about. And this assault upon the oil and gas industry is a direct assault upon middle-class America. And it's important that we understand that. And, Joe, are we ready for a break, or how are we doing? I know we've got some technical difficulties. Okay, so we're going to continue on here, and we get it kind of figured out on our end. Again, I'm knocking on wood, and then we get the technical difficulties at the station. So we'll continue on here. Okay, and one of our great sponsors is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, and Roger's been in business for 47 years, taking care of his family, serving his customers, giving back to his community. And you're not in business for 47 years unless you strive for excellence. And State Farm is a very solid financial company, as well as Roger is that agent that they will respond to your call or text 24 hours a day. So give them a call for that peace of mind. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. My friends, we talk about PBIs all the time on the show, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. They don't create anything. They live off of all of us that are working, paying taxes, creating. And I when I was on city council, I had an experience where PBIs wanted to use their power to determine how to social engineer their communities instead of the great American idea of we'll figure it out ourselves with freedom. And that's how I got to know Hooters Restaurants. And it's an important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism and those pesky PBIs. And you can find all that at my website. But Hooters Restaurants has 5 locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends. Great place to get together to see all of the sporting events. And, of course, I imagine football is right around the corner. I can't believe that because everything starts in August. So great place to get together with friends is Hooters Restaurants. A great way to support the show is for you to support all of my sponsors as well. So, again, give them a little bit of your business. And And another thing I wanted to mention, Yvonne Paez, my dear friend and co-founder of Perspectives 101 up in Northern Colorado, is when we were at the Museum of Military Vehicles, yes, in Du Bois, Wyoming, we saw the flyer for the Center for American Values there.
We did.
And the Center for American Values is doing such amazing work. It's the co-founders are Drew Dix, who is a Medal of Honor recipient for actions he took during the Vietnam War, and Brad Padula, who is a Emmy Award-winning documentary maker. And they realize we need to honor our Medal of Honor recipients, and so that our kids, our communities can learn about them. And also they're doing amazing educational programs. So here we are all the way up in Du Bois, Wyoming. And they have the great flyer for Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo. I just loved it.
It was beautiful.
And so more information on the Center for American Values, go to AmericanValuesCenter.org. Let's see. Next headline that I wanted to get to was, this is from ABC. And it says, Harris thanks Biden as she receives a growing chorus of endorsements. So I just ran through this, and I think this tells a lot. Biden, this is her endorsers. Biden, the Clintons, the squad, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Presley, then Adam Schiff from California, John Kerry, Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg, and Elizabeth Warren. I think that there's probably still going to be a lot of changes going on. I find this interesting, though. The Obamas have been noncommittal. And then in this article from ABC, they quote some donors, some Democrat donors. But you can tell when somebody's not doing their job as a journalist. They did not have the names of these donors. They said, this donor said this, or this donor said that. That is really shoddy journalism, Yvonne.
Details are important.
They are. Next thing, let's see here. Wanted to mention, we'll talk a little bit about this in the next segment. After all, this is from the Daily Wire. It says, after almost getting Trump killed, the Secret Service cries about the mean tweets. And it says, I'll begin. This is, let's see, I wonder who wrote this over at the Daily Wire. Matt Walsh. Okay, he said, I'll begin with some breaking news. The Secret Service has finally come out and explained in detail how they allowed Donald Trump to get shot in the head on Saturday. They've released a thorough explanation for why exactly the slope of the roof 140 yards away from the stage was, in fact, insurmountable for even the most skilled Secret Service sniper or special agent. They articulated very clearly why they didn't pull Donald Trump off the stage, even after they saw the shooter behaving suspiciously, equipped with a rangefinder, before they somehow lost track of him several times over. It's now abundantly clear exactly why the DHS secretary says he has 100% confidence in the director of the Secret Service. All of our questions have been answered, or maybe not. Actually, they still haven't explained any of that. But on the bright side, the Secret Service did come out and address the most important issue surrounding last Saturday's assassination attempt by far. And that issue is that people have been very mean to the Secret Service on the Internet. People have even put out tweets that are critical of the fact that the Secret Service had female agents protecting Donald Trump who weren't tall enough to cover his head. Can you imagine the indecency of it all? The Secret Service can't. So, Yvonne Paez, we're going to leave that out there as a cliffhanger, because you and I have, in the car ride, we've had some discussions about this. So we'll get to that in just a little bit.
Can't wait.
I'm going to say Yvonne Paez is in studio with me, but our studio is actually at a Holiday Inn Express in Lander, Wyoming right now. So we are on location, but we have these important discussions because of the amazing sponsors that I work with, and one of those is Karen Levine.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. The text line is 720-605-0647. We're not going to do call-ins at the end of the second hour because we've got a late-breaking guest for you on that, but I do want to hear from you, 720-605-0647. And I mentioned in the first segment these different weather events regarding these high temperatures in the early 1920s or something like that. And remember, that was long before everyday people were thriving and prospering, being able to go where they want to, when they want to, in their vehicles, and to be able to control their own personal climate, meaning they could be cool in their cars or cool in their homes in the summer and warm in the winter. And that's why, take a look at aclimateconversation.com. We've got the movie there, the documentary, which is a project of Walt Johnson. It's aclimateconversation.com. And we're doing these amazing podcasts. And we just recently published our latest one with John Harpole. And it is super interesting. So be sure and check all that out at aclimateconversation.com. Yvonne Paez is in studio with me. And Yvonne, I know where I'm going to be on August 24th, and that is out at the USMC Memorial Foundation. Well, at the memorial, because the foundation is preparing an anniversary celebration for their 47th anniversary. And David Bray USA will be performing, as well as World War II Iwo Jima veterans Al Jennings and Jim Blaine are going to be there. And then Drew Dix, co-founder of the Center for American Values, is planning on coming up from Pueblo. So go get your tickets by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. I know you've been to some of the events. You have met Paula Sarles, who is the president. And you are a veteran, a former captain in the Army. And so you have a great appreciation for what they're doing there.
I do. And it used to be only about a mile or two from where I was living when I first came back to the United States. And my uncle served in the Army, and I was staying with them when I first came back to the United States, because I spent my entire youth outside of the United States. And he used to take me there. And it was only a few years after that memorial had opened. So it was, and there was nothing out there. That was the only thing, you know, that was in that landscape. So I remember it well.
Yes. And so the August 24th, get your tickets, and it's going to be a great evening. So Yvonne Paez, let's change gears a little bit and go over to Protect Kids Colorado. This is something that we've really focused on. And this is, it's crazy that we have to even think about trying to put an initiative on the ballot here in Colorado for two very common sense things. And those two initiatives, and it's in the petition gathering stage right now, and as I get back to Colorado tomorrow, that is going to be one of my focuses. I've got three, in addition to producing the show and all this, I've got that as a focus. We've got to complete the Colorado Union of Taxpayers ratings report, and I'm working on an election integrity thing that's pretty important as well. But number one, I've got to get on these signatures. So I'm going to walk my neighborhood and just have a conversation with people about it.
And it is a great social experiment. And actually, there are so many people that are excited to sign these. They are, where do I sign? And yes, I do come across the occasional one that says, I'm good. But you know, I've said, I'm good to a lot of petitions when I just didn't want to be bothered. So that really doesn't mean a whole lot unless we, you know, we knew things deeper. People are really excited about protecting kids in Colorado. So
And you've been a captain really for Northern Colorado, and I know that you're helping Rich Guggenheim on picking up a bunch of these petitions as well, but you've really been very involved in this particular endeavor.
Yes, it has been an honor to be involved in protecting children in Colorado. I can see almost no higher calling. The children depend on adults and, you know, trusted adults, their parents, their coaches, their teachers, their aunts and uncles, etc. They depend on us for their protection. And so it is very, very important that we do not let them down.
And we are at a critical time. Colorado's is really the petri dish for all of the stuff that the radical activists are trying to push forward in our country in so many different arenas. But this whole thing with our children, these initiatives are very important.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say that there really is some ugly stuff going on out there in schools, especially in schools in Colorado. And, you know, we probably won't have time to talk about any of that in detail. But the sad thing is that as we go through with these petitions, parents really do not know. It is amazing how much the parents do not know. And for everybody that's listening, if you don't know this, I'm going to tell you right now. And if it ends with you, then I have not succeeded at my mission. So please, when you hear this, I want you to tell everybody you know who has children or grandchildren, etc. One of the things I mention when we're out collecting signatures, it comes up. It just comes up in conversation. And I say, do you know what the age of consent for children is when it comes to their medical decisions and their mental health decisions? And everybody guesses like 18 or things like that. And when I say no, in Colorado, it is 12 as of just a few years ago. And they are, no, there's no way. You know, they have no idea. And so that is why it is so, so, so important that we keep, one of these is a parent notification thing, and that parents are kept in the loop with what's going on with their children. Because there are some things that people may try to do to and with their children behind the parents' back, under the, what I would call militarily, the cover of darkness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is no small thing. This is serious.
And so the two initiatives, one is to keep boys out of girls' sports.
Right. Girls' sports are for girls, and boys' sports are for boys. That is just such a no-brainer. That is why we opened a different category for women and for girls many decades ago. Men are simply bigger, stronger, faster, things like that in most cases. And so for them to compete together, it's not fair, period.
Right. That's so interesting. And those that always talk about being fair are the ones many times that are pushing this, which is not fair whatsoever.
Not fair at all.
Yeah. And then the other is if a child is experiencing what's called gender incongruence.
Yeah, and people go, what does that mean? So I always just say it as gender confusion, because that's the simple word for incongruence. Okay. So yes, if a child is showing gender confusion at school, and these both are applied at K through 12 schools, these initiatives. And it's simply that the parents be notified within 48 hours. And why? Because no matter what the challenge is for a child or a student, whether it's academic, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whatever, their parents and their families should be involved because they are their first line of support. Mm-hmm. And so this is a team effort. I remember, my sister's a teacher, I remember when teachers like, if parents, only parents were more involved, we can't do everything, we're not the parents, we need to work together as a team. Oh, yeah? So on this one, why are there all these other things and people trying to be sly and not work together as a team? Mm-hmm. And so for the people who've always wanted parents to be involved and to help and reinforce what, the teachers and everything are doing in school, for them to do this switcheroo sounds a little nefarious.
Mm-hmm. Well done on that word of the day. Yes. And so that's your challenge out there as well, to use that. So anything else? Oh, well, what's the website for Protect Kids?
I believe it's protectkidscolorado.com.
Okay. And we've got till the end of the month. So be sure and sign the petitions.
Yeah,
and
sign the petitions. And if you want to carry one, if you feel strongly about this enough, also just go to protectkidscolorado.com, or you can even email me at perspectives101.info@gmail.com and tell me that you want to carry a petition, and I will get you connected.
Absolutely. And again, what's that website or that email one more time?
For Perspectives, it's perspectives101.info@gmail.com. And the other one is simply protectkidscolorado.com.
And let's do talk about Perspectives 101 just a little bit. This is an organization that you co-founded. It's basically a civics organization. It's nonpartisan, and it's really to just come together to inform people about different issues. And you've done amazing work. What are you in your fourth year of this?
We're coming almost onto our fifth anniversary.
That's hard to believe.
We started before COVID, the fall before COVID.
Yes. And you've really seen so many people are so hungry to really have an understanding of what's going on.
And they are. Just like I explained this thing, and I said this, so I'm repeating again. Know that the age of consent for medical decisions and mental health decisions for children in Colorado is 12. They can do this without the knowledge or consent of their parents. So as I informed you of this, you know, there are so many other things that are going on in our communities, in our state, in our country, that a Marine friend of mine, Solomon Martinez, and I would talk to people about. And 9 out of 10 would say, I had no idea. And so when we looked at each other and said, if we're driving this bus called the United States off a cliff and people are asleep at the wheel, we have an obligation to help people get informed on some very, very important things. So really, it's nonpartisan. Anybody is welcome to come. And it is about letting people know what is really going on, and they can make their own decisions.
Well, and speaking of that, we should give a plug for artclubmovie.com. And this is the story of Aaron and John Lee and their daughter, 11 or 12 years old, which that's a really critical age for young girls. And they are really being targeted, although the indoctrination actually is starting in preschool and kindergarten. So when you have Jared Polis pushing state-run preschool, I see danger, because there's agendas there that will creep into curriculum, even with these little kids. But I find that these 11 and 12-year-old girls are really being targeted by this transgender activist movement. And that was the experience of what happened with Aaron and John Lee and their daughter. And as a parent, you want the very best for your children. You want them to have friends. You want them to be part of something. And so new school, coming out of COVID, she's 11 or 12. She's shy. She's invited to go to art club after school, and she likes art. So, of course, the parent is going to say yes. Well, guess what? It wasn't art club.
It was not.
And
it was a transgender indoctrination club.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can totally see the details of all this at the movie. It is free. They spent all this money to make this documentary and make it free for you. So go to artclubmovie.com and watch the movie, and it'll explain how some of these things came about that led to Protect Kids Colorado being created, and these petitions, especially one of them, to be created to protect your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and nephews if you don't have children. I mean, we all have loved children that in our lives. So watch the movie, artclubmovie.com, and then tell others about it so they can watch it, because this is to help protect them.
Absolutely. That's artclubmovie.com. These discussions are so important. And we have them because of our sponsors. And Lauren Levy does everything mortgages, first mortgage, second mortgage, reverse mortgages in all states except New York.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms has everything you need to get your concealed carry permit in one place for one low price. Franktown believes that while classroom instruction is good, realistic, detailed training is much better and required. That's why they do live fire CCW training on their spacious 10-lane, 30-yard range where your instructor is there to offer one-on-one help and direction if you need it. Their instruction far exceeds the training you'd expect, and their certified and experienced staff and instructors range from law enforcement professionals to Green Berets. And if you've already gotten your concealed carry permit, Franktown is a great place to keep developing your skill. That way you and your family stay smart, agile, and safe in an evolving security environment. Shooting is a skill you can lose if you're out of practice. And the last place you want to be rusty is in an emergency. Go get your CCW training scheduled with Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/Franktown.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. In studio with me, I say that with air quotes because we are in a Holiday Inn Express in Lander, Wyoming, is my good friend Yvonne Paez, co-founder of Perspectives 101. She's one of the captains in Northern Colorado. Regarding this Protect Kids Colorado initiative signing. And we have until the end of July, which is right around the corner, it's hard to believe, to get those petitions signed. And just really great work that you're doing on everything, Yvonne. And I thank you for caring so much about our country. And you grew up as a kid, not in America,
in Mexico.
In Mexico. So you really value our freedom, and that's why I think that you work diligently to protect it.
I do, and you know, when people talk about privilege and everything, I think one of the only real privileges is having been born on U.S. soil. And yes, my family was up here, and I was born in the United States. My dad was from South America. My mother was from the United States. My dad was sent to Mexico to work, and it was supposed to be 2 years. We ended up down there 14 years. So my entire childhood, kindergarten through high school, I was in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I had to return to my country, which was really a country I never knew, and get acquainted with my own country.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you know what it looks like when there's not law and order, and when we don't have we're not adhering to our constitutional republic. You know what that looks like.
I know what that looks like. I know why it's different. I know why we are different. And if we preserve the values that made this country so unique, we can preserve this country the way it was intended. Mm-hmm. And it is indeed a beautiful place. But it's slipping a little bit. We got to get it back on track.
We are in our third founding of our country. But Yvonne, you are a former military SWAT commander, and you were also in charge of security for very sensitive military facilities and VIPs. So what is your opinion of the security issues at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania, where there was an attempt against his life?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, and in the Army, we call it SRT, but I always say SWAT when I'm talking to non-military personnel, because otherwise they don't really understand. It's just a different acronym, but it's for the same thing. And oh, my stars, Kim, there are no words, no words. I usually am the last one to be a Monday morning quarterback. But this one is, the errors are so grave.
I can see them.
I don't feel bad at all because we're not splitting hairs. This was just completely, completely botched. And so the security plan was so bad that honestly, any person from any profession, a pastry chef, an architect, I don't know, a nail technician, physical therapist, cab driver, lawyer, anybody could have done a better job at planning the security for this event, which is really a sad thing to say. It's terrible. And we could go, through the details of maybe not, the details of not securing the rooftops, of allowing folks with rangefinders to come into the thing, and whether he came in with the rifle or stashed it before. Well, there's always a security sweep, and what the heck happened with that? And so then there's unsecured ladders and people climbing up on a building right where all the security people are inside the building, not knowing that somebody's climbing up on their building. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
It's embarrassing,
actually. It's ridiculous, yeah, and embarrassing. And then we get, after that, instead of somebody who sits down and says, you know what, we messed up. I take responsibility and the buck stops here. But then what? These BS excuses provided by the director of Secret Service, like rooftop slope and things like that. Oh, we will get into that. But that was just so bad. And there's just so many failures that, it's like a bad comedy routine. But there is nothing funny about the loss of life and the serious injuries that occurred that day. And not to say a nearly assassinated presidential candidate. And this whole thing is not only a tragedy, but an embarrassment on the global stage. And our enemies are watching. Right. And I know what that looks like because I've been on the outside watching in from another country. And they are watching.
Well, definitely. And you had shared a little anecdote with me that was pretty darn funny regarding this kind of the incompetence on the, well, go ahead.
So yeah, I know you probably have other questions, and I can answer some of those, but I'd also like to share a little story that will best explain what I think is plain for anyone with a working brain to see. And so when I lived in Mexico, they always have sayings for everything and little stories. They're kind of what do you call them? Fables or, something like that. Little stories that teach you stuff. And there's a couple, one about a donkey and another one about a bull that I find apply to just about everything in life. And in this case, it's the one about the bull. So I'm going to go through that, and I'm going to put a little, this is about obstacles, and I'm going to put an obstacle in there at the end that's a little non-traditional, so you should catch up on that. And then, then we're going to come to the moral of the story. And basically, this bull story is about two men that happen upon each other, and they are compadres. And there's no translation for the English word in that. And it basically means, but it's akin to like your best friend. But it's only because you usually make your best friend the godfather of your child. Okay. So it is the title given to the person who is the godparent of your child. Okay. And that person would be your compadre. So they come upon each other, and one guy says, compadre. He says, how are you? I'm doing fine. So, hey, I have something for you. What would you do if you were being chased by a bull? And he says, well, compadre, I jump on the other side of the fence to get away from the bull. And he goes, no, compadre, there's no fence. And he says, well, compadre, I'd climb a tree. And he says, compadre, there's no trees. And he says, well, compadre, I'd dive under a car so he couldn't get to me. No, compadre, there's no cars. And he says, well, compadre, I'd climb a telephone pole. Compadre, there's no telephone poles. Compadre, I'd jump through a window to get away from the bull. And he goes, compadre, there's no windows. And so there, he goes through obstacles like that. And so then he says, I would get around a big rock and keep going around so he couldn't reach me. Compadre, there's no rocks. And he goes, well, then I'd climb up on a roof and get away from the bull. Well, compadre, There's too much slope on the roof. You're going to fall off the roof. And he says, ah, compadre, I get it. What you want is for the bull to get me. In this case, maybe the bullet to get me.
So, I think that pretty well explains it. Can you honestly believe that one of the excuses by the Secret Service is they did not have somebody on that roof because they said that it was too sloped? But when you look at the, I've seen pictures of the guy up on the roof. How is it that he was able to figure it out, but the United States Secret Service couldn't?
And
come
it's
on.
Not, you can look at the pictures. It's not sloped. You see everybody standing at up there after this man has been neutralized, as we say, and it's fairly flat. Mm-hmm. Yet if you see the roof where they the sniper observer or whatever the counter sniper team, what they call it now, is up there, is an actual two pitched roof, and mm-hmm. it has. A slope, a much more serious slope than the other. So it's just a BS excuse, and we all know that.
Well, and we only have a couple of minutes left, but one of the things that we've heard is that that they had to pull some of the security off for some of the other candidates, or Jill Biden was at a rally. We've got to have more than just a few sniper teams. Seems like a BS excuse.
Well, it is, because you get the assets you need to do what you need for your security plan. And what happened, what happens is, it doesn't matter how many events are being supported at once. And yes, we don't have a ton of Secret Service people to do everything at every event all the time. So that is why they team up with local assets. This is how this is done. They come in, they team up with the local assets, they run through what they're going to do, they set up the entire operational plan for security, everybody's a part to play in it, and then the important thing, of course, is for the, that we have the right hand knowing what the left hand is doing, because we have a multi-jurisdictional thing mm-hmm. going on, so that that everything is connected and everybody knows what everybody else is doing, and all the unsecure rooftops are secured. Whether you put a sniper team on there or not, a counter-sniper team on there or not, you have to have it secured so that some yahoo doesn't get up there and do this kind of thing. So you do all of this. I mean, we don't have the time to go into what you have to do for one of these plans, but the simplicity is they team up with other assets. They all get it together. Everybody knows who's doing what. Everything is covered, and absolute command and control of the entire operation is in the hands of the Secret Service. So anything that is done or fails to be done under their command is their responsibility. So there is no mm-hmm. pointing of fingers. You can say anything you want to. It's your failure, Secret Service, because you were in charge.
Absolutely. And that's Yvonne Paez, and she is a security expert, a former military SWAT commander. Yvonne, this is great. This is really good information, and I thank you. And we're going to be going to hour number two here shortly. And our quote for the end of the show, I went to George Patton. He said this: you need to overcome the tug of people against you as you reach for high goals. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Young, like a new moon. Rising fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
the latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting, and also Amanda, who does a great job keeping us on the air. Thank you to all of you. Check out the website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays and our podcasts. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com. And the text line is 720-605-0647. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice, and we dissect these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I have been road tripping it, as you all know. I was in Western Wyoming last week, which is a place I dearly love, broadcasting remotely, and had technical challenges that were just putting me over the edge. So I appreciate your patience on that, and we continue to troubleshoot all of these different things that happen. And I really thank Joe and the team for what they do to really support me and make all of this happen, because it is important to make it happen, and I really do appreciate that. One of the things that I thought I was going to get done last week, and that was really get focused on finishing up the Colorado Union of Taxpayers ratings report on this legislative session, and did not get the thinking time that I needed to do that. So that will be on my agenda as I'm returning to Colorado and back in the saddle tomorrow. But this group of people, when you see them out there, first of all, the Colorado Union of Taxpayers has been an all-volunteer organization that has been watching what the Colorado legislature and governor have been doing, and also initiatives on the ballot. And we've been doing this since 1976. And so this current board is Steve Dorman, Greg Goliansky, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Carl Honegger, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Joseph O'Loughlin, Wendy Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, and Mary Jansen. And when you see them, tell them thank you. And Ramey Johnson is also running for House District 30, which is that Lakewood area. This is a very hotly contested House District race. And she actually was the representative about 20 years ago. And here she is stepping forward again. I find that absolutely amazing. And on this road trip that I'm headed back to, I was in Western Wyoming, and road tripping it back. I flew up and road tripping it back, and talked with my friend Yvonne Paez. She is a former captain in the Army, and I'd heard about this Museum of Military Vehicles, which is located in Du Bois, Wyoming. And so I said, Yvonne, would you like to drive back with me? She said, sure. So you flew into Jackson, Wyoming on Saturday.
Thank God it was Saturday and not Friday.
Oh, yes. We haven't even talked about that. The big technical outage, and I'm getting some information coming in on things to watch on what happened with that. But yes, it was on Saturday, and we weren't sure you were going to make it.
And you thought you had technical issues.
That's true, that. And so we're road tripping it back. We went to the Museum of Military Vehicles, privately owned. Over $100 million has gone into it. It is so impressive, such a part of history. So this is the other thing. They have, within the museum, a museum of all different kinds of firearms, and they have the actual rifle that was the rifle that shot the shot that was heard round the world that started the Revolutionary War. And they have that there as well. So super, super fascinating. Big news. Let's see. Well, let's get to our word of the day, which is switcheroo. And that will be easy to use in a sentence today, because we've seen quite the switcheroo with Biden saying he's not going to run for president again. And many endorsing on the
Democrat side, Kamala Harris, and Gammy said, well, it's all the Marxists. Well, right now in the Democrat leadership, is there anything but a Marxist? I don't think that there is any what used to be called blue dog or moderate Democrats, but switcheroo, this will be easy for you to use. It's a noun. Number one, it could be unexpected variation or reversal. Number two, a sudden and unexpected change or reversal of position, attitude, or action. Number three, a sneaky, unexpected, or clever swap or exchange. So it's been quite the switcheroo with Joe Biden stepping down, and he is endorsing Kamala Harris. Next thing, there is at the Museum of Military Vehicles in Du Bois, Wyoming, there is a whole area regarding George Patton. And of course, George Patton was the general in the European theater. And you and I both knew this, and I'd heard this from many of the veterans that I had interviewed regarding that serving under George Patton, is he was moving the Third Army so quickly across Western Europe that it was difficult from a logistical standpoint for the supplies to keep up with him. But, and he really pushed his men, but he did not ask them to do anything that he would not do. But they called him old blood and guts. But and he died from actually injuries from a rollover of a Jeep that he was riding in at the end of the war. But he's something else. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, he had flaws, like most of us humans yes. have flaws. But, you know, he was the right person for the right job at the right time. And I can think of other people right now who are the right person at the right time for the right job. And I know who, you know, a lot of people know who I'm thinking.
Yes. Starts with a T, right?
Yes indeed.
I say this, though, we must realize that Trump is not our savior. He is pushing forward policies, and he made mistakes as well. But he did, I think, a great job for everyday people. More women were employed, more Hispanics were employed, more blacks were employed before the whole COVID debacle. And we could talk about that for quite some time. But let's give him a chance to get that going again. Everyday people thriving and prospering, a more peaceful world. Those are things that I really like, Ivan Paez.
And, you know, I see some parallels there with Patton, because Patton was a hothead, and he also, they sat him out and put him, they sidelined him during a lot of the stuff that was crucial going on in the Second World War. And that was
so he had to
hard
take a,
for
he
him.
Had to take a little time out.
He had to take a time out. And when I think divine intervention came through and protected former President Trump from taking that hit straight on, and he was just grazed, I think that was divine intervention. And I think that too was somebody talking to him, saying, "You need to settle down and do the job the way you need to do it, and you need to settle down." So the right person at the right time mm-hmm. sometimes needs to settle down.
And with that, though, he's not our savior. We have a responsibility as well. And there are things that we need to do here in Colorado. And stay tuned, because we have some very exciting things going on here, because each of us needs to step up. That's why the work that you're doing with Protect Kids Colorado is so important. And George Patton's quote was this. He said, "Better to fight for something than to live for nothing." And in this job that I have, in this great adventure that I'm on, I get to meet amazing people. Yvonne, you and I have met amazing people everywhere that we have gone, and I get to work with amazing people and great sponsors. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance team is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. In studio with me is Roger Mangan. And Roger, I've got a question. In fact, I had a friend that her roof was damaged in that tornado hailstorm last year. And she had a heck of a time getting her roof completed, because only part of it was damaged. And I don't think people realize that, but it was so interesting to watch that process with her.
Yes, it's a common problem with hailstorms in Colorado. If you have a home, for example, and you get hit hard with hail, and let's say an adjuster comes out and says, okay, your south facing part of the roof is damaged, but the north part isn't because of the direction of the hail and the intensity, they are not going to replace the north part of your roof because it's not damaged. So what you have then is a roof that's kind of half-baked. You could have faded shingles on the north. You could try to match them, but they don't match. So it's like, is there some way to overcome this? Yes, there is now an endorsement available called Matching of Undamaged Roof Surfacing Endorsement. So if you add that endorsement to your homeowners at a cost of approximately $150 to $160 a year, depending on the size of the roof, of course, or the amount of coverage you have on your homeowners, I think it's important for you to have that conversation with your agent, either State Farm or otherwise. One of the criteria is the roof can be no more than 15 years old. And this has been in effect since January 1st of 2024. I would check on it. I think it's important, and it's not that expensive. So let's say $10, $15 a month more in your homeowner's insurance premiums, which we know are already high. But would you rather pay $150 out, or a roofer comes in and says, you want me to replace your entire roof? State Farm is going to pay $15,000, but it's going to cost you $30 to do the whole roof. So for an extra $160 a year, buying $15,000 of coverage is a good use of your insurance dollars.
I think a lot of people don't even know to ask this question, Roger.
I would agree. It's kind of a new concept, but believe me, if there's a claim and you have this endorsement on, you're going to be a happy camper, and so will your roofer, because it's very difficult to come close to matching roofs. And if you're going to sell your house, which you probably will in the next 5 years, that would give you a better home. That would be a better purchase for that consumer.
Well, absolutely. So for a complimentary appointment, what is the best way for people to reach you?
You can call us at 303-795-8855. We'd love to give you some insights into how you might want to handle efficiently your coverage and your premium.
And again, that's the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
With the limited number of homes in the Colorado Front Range market, Karen Levine can help you achieve your home buying or selling vision. Karen has the right connections, technology, and strategies to help you buy or sell your home or to purchase a new build. Whether you're feeling overwhelmed or want someone to take the wheel, or you just need a second opinion, you can rest assured that RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine is the right agent for you. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. Karen is the trusted professional who strives for excellence. That number is 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And from one of our listeners, the text line is 720-605-0647. And Eric is so informed on everything, and he said the director of Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, is very good friends with Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney and Jill Biden, and she is supposed to testify in front of Congress this morning. And so that should be super interesting. And thank you, Eric, for keeping us informed on that. And wanted to mention Jansen Photography. Mary Jansen was on last week. And she and Glenn Jansen are the owners of Jansen Photography, which is located in Lakewood. And it's an old farmstead, so they have all these beautiful landscapes. And the lighting is so great right now, particularly in the morning. I love the evening light, but as Mary mentioned, is sometimes we have afternoon thunderstorms and you don't have as much light to work with. And so make your appointment. And all of you who have senior students who are your children or grandchildren, those senior portraits will be due for the yearbook probably early in the school year. And so go ahead and reach out and make your appointment now so you get one of the optimum times. And you can do that by going to JansenPhotography.com. That's JansenPhotography.com. And Joshua Scharf is a senior fellow in fiscal policy at the Independence Institute. And he really delves into these fiscal issues, which are so important because it basically is, where does our money go? Who's trying to take it? We'd like to keep more of it. And Joshua Scharf, hopefully we've got you on the line. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
A couple of things. CBS Colorado had a headline that says the mayor calls for more affordable Denver while asking residents to approve a new sales tax. But actually, when people are paying more and more in taxes, particularly in sales tax, that means they have less money in their pocket, which means that all of life is less affordable. So you have written a piece that was in Complete Colorado that says Denver is already swimming in sales tax revenue and now it wants more. So unpack this for us, Joshua.
Yeah, you know, it's it's hard to you can't make things cheaper by just, you know, recycling money. You have to make things cheaper by actually lowering costs. And that's the one thing that Denver seems never to be interested, or rarely to be interested in doing. In this case, we already have a sales tax rate here in the city that is approaching 9%. And there's one that's going to be on the ballot already for Denver Health to help with Denver Health, another sales tax increase for that. On top of that, Mayor Johnston wants another 0.5% a sales tax increase, allegedly to support affordable housing. And his argument is that they could use this is expected to generate over 10 years about $100 million, and they'd subsidize up to 20,000 affordable housing units. Now, that's $5,000 a unit. I don't know exactly how that makes it that much more affordable, but that's the approach that they want to take. And of course, this is a heck of a lot of money. But it also, the other thing to consider is that, well, there are two things here. Number one, sales tax revenue has been going up much faster than the Tabor limits that Denver waived several years ago. So it's been going up pretty quickly over the last, say, 7 years or so. And then secondly, sales taxes are regressive. And no matter how many carve-outs you just say, well, you know, we'll exempt food, we'll exempt clothing, we'll exempt, you know, things that basic necessities. And yet what ends up happening is that people who are better off buy more expensive necessities, and those things end up being exempt from the sales tax. So it's still a regressive tax, which means it's going to hit harder the people that it's allegedly supposed to help.
Well, and to get to 10%, it's going to be close to 10%. For when people are going out to buy basic things, or people that work all week and they want to go out and have dinner with family or friends, to slap another 10% on top of that, and that's not including a tip or anything, it makes life just so much more expensive. But people connect this dot, and that is that Denver had been reported that per capita we had the most illegal aliens in the country per capita. And they are using health facilities, and they're getting free housing. And so not only is that occurring, but it's asking the people of Denver to then pony up more money for this particular decision over there, Joshua.
No, that's exactly right. One of the major contributors both to this and to and I suspect also, although it's not mentioned explicitly, I suspect also to the Denver Health request for a sales tax increase. And I don't really address the Denver Health one in the article, but I suspect one of the major drivers for both of these is the presence of illegal aliens who require housing and then require, I mean, you can't continue to rent out hotels. You have to build someplace for people to live. And so Denver,
or send them to Utah on a bus without telling Utah.
Well, I did that too. Yeah. Although, you know, that's been sort of a shell game that mayors all over. I remember oh gosh, when I moved out here, like, you know, 25 years ago or so, that the mayor of Minneapolis was giving one-way bus tickets to Denver from homeless people. So, you know, this is a game that that mayors and governors have been playing for a long time. But the fact is that Denver was perfectly happy to put up signs saying, "Oh, we love our immigrants," as long as it was political posturing that could make Republicans look bad, and as long as Texas and Florida and the Arizona and New Mexico actually had to front the cost for all of this. But when Governor Abbott says, maybe you guys need to experience a little bit of the pain that we're experiencing, suddenly it's, well, where's all the federal money that we're supposed to get? Well, of course, that federal money also comes out of our pockets, or in the case of the federal government also being able to print money, it comes out of the pockets of our kids, right? Because you're borrowing against future GDP. So it's Denver.
And the other thing on that, though, also, Joshua, it's not just taking the money out of our pockets and then borrowing it from our kids, but then when the government prints that money, it creates inflation. And so for seniors who have saved and they were expecting that they had planned well, and then you put in this significant inflation that everyone has experienced because of the inflation, air quotes, Reduction Act and all of that printing of money, that's a whole nother whammy. So people are getting hit three different ways at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing to remember here is that Denver, the Denver city government, is perfectly happy to play above its pay grade when it comes to its own preferred policies. You know, it's gonna change the climate by imposing green restrictions on building. And to some degree, rightly so, it employs a lobbyist to lobby the state legislature. But it also has no problem making a statement to the federal government that it should decriminalize marijuana at the national level. And it has no problem making recommendations or asking our representatives, our congressional representatives, to take certain positions on things, as long as, you know, that they're what they want. But the one thing that they won't do is say, gee, guys, maybe we should do something about the border, which is the ultimate cause of a lot of this. Now, Denver, to be fair, Denver had been experiencing an influx of population from other parts of the country, from, you know, citizens, from people who just wanted to move out here. And so that has also contributed mightily to the problem. But that's less of an issue now because prices have gone up so much. A lot of the immigration into the city has stabilized. And in fact, Colorado on the whole is now almost in a steady state in terms of people leaving because it's too expensive and people wanting to move here. So that's not a good thing that things have gotten so much more expensive, but it does indicate that people are getting the message and not necessarily wanting to move out here. You want to do something about that because, of course, it makes things expensive for the people who want to stay here. But it's not clear that the money isn't there. If they want to do this, the money is probably there already. And if they and it's not clear that it's a good idea anyway, because affordable housing programs, the one thing that they don't tend to produce is a whole lot of affordable housing.
Well, and the other reason, another reason that, and we've had Randall O'Toole on many times, who is an expert in urban planning and housing and transportation, is urban growth boundaries that have been put around different metropolitan areas that prevent growing outside that, building housing that people want, and then also using public policy to make it more difficult to build the housing, single-family homes that people want, and incentivizing and subsidizing these big 4 and 5 story apartment buildings, if people want to live in those, that's one thing, but they need to stand on their own from an economic standpoint. And if they don't, we should have government out of that business. This piece that you have written is so important. You do such great work. And these pieces that you publish at Complete Colorado. I'm talking with Joshua Scharf, and he is the fiscal policy fellow at the Independence Institute. And we're talking about this piece about not only does Mike Johnston want to push sales tax above 9% for Denver Health, but then an additional 0.5% for, again, in air quotes, affordable housing. And we have these important discussions because of our sponsors. And Lavaca Meat Company initially is based on the eastern plains of Colorado, but they do an amazing job providing a premium product for that steakhouse experience at home.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I wanted to say thank you to Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas for their gold sponsorship of the show. We have really realized that reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams. That is under attack. This reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy is what has helped create this vibrant middle class where everyday people have freedom of mobility, freedom to purchase a home, to live the life that they choose. And all of that is under attack right now. So that's why we have these important discussions. And school is right around the corner. I would highly recommend, it's basically a day trip from the metro area, although it's great to spend the night as well in Pueblo. But the Center for American Values honors our Medal of Honor recipients, and they have these great education programs and on values presentations. And also, they're in Pueblo, just not very far from the center, is the four sculptures of the four Medal of Honor recipients that grew up in Pueblo, Colorado. And so I really recommend that you at least do a day trip down there. Take the kids. It will change their lives. And that website is AmericanValueCenter.org. On the line with me is Joshua Scharf, and he is the Senior Fellow in Fiscal Policy at the Independence Institute. This piece that you have written is so important, Joshua, and we go through some of the basics. And what it's about is Mike Johnston, the Denver mayor, there's a proposal for a tax increase, a sales tax increase that would put Denver sales tax over 9%, and he wants to propose another 0.5%, and that one would be for Denver Health, and this would be for affordable housing. The other thing, Joshua Scharf, with any of these government programs, it's not a total 100% pass-through from the taxes collected to whoever is supposed to be getting the benefit. There's a lot of bureaucrats that take their cut as the money goes by.
Well, sure. I mean, that's, you know, that's part of the game as well. I mean, we certainly are employing, and actually I have a piece that I'm working on now, a little teaser here, that the city council, I think it was this past week, voted to expand the number of city employees who would be available, who would be eligible for collective bargaining, and also to give some of them the right to strike under sort of non-life-threatening circumstances. So, you know, that count on that to raise prices, to raise costs even more. But I think the thing to consider here, the rate at which sales taxes have been increasing is dramatic. In 2016, so per individual, and this is a per capita, so we don't really have per taxpayer, but per capita, it was $972 in sales taxes each year. Last year, $1,750. So that's not quite twice as much, but almost twice as much. If you look at the difference between 2023 and 2016, or 2022 and 2016, that's about $260 a month for a family of four. So think about that. $260 a month. That's huge. I mean, that's like the difference, you know, that could be the difference between being able to afford rent and not being able to afford rent.
Right.
That's an enormous amount of money. For a family of four, that's $260, a lot of money. And so that's the difference between 2023 and 2016. And now that's not enough. And of course, it's never enough. And that's the problem with this. It goes out the door to something else, and it's never enough. And at some point, somebody has to say, look, you know, your government has to make choices just like everybody else. Government has to decide what's important and what isn't important. And what I like to say is that when the government is going to take another dollar from you, what it is saying is that the least, and of course the government doesn't have any money of its own, it only has what it collects in taxes, that what it is saying is that the least important thing that government can do with that dollar, the least important thing it can do, is more important than the most important thing you can do with it. Well, that's facially untrue, and certainly not when tax revenue has been growing the way that it's been growing.
Boy, that's an excellent explanation of all of this. And when government gets bigger, the individual gets smaller. But ultimately, with America being a petri dish of 50 different states, Colorado has been a place people have wanted to move to because of the outdoors, just all of the things that Colorado offers. But at some point in time, people make a lifestyle decision. And in your piece, you mentioned that according to a PODS survey, and PODS are those kind of those storage things that people will rent, that Colorado is now number 12 in the country for people moving out. And you said in large part because of housing costs, but I think it's interrelated with all of these bad policy decisions where we have higher crime, although you note in your report that says that police arrests are down nearly 50% from their 2015 peak, but that's because we're not really maybe arresting criminals. And the everyday person wants to live in safe communities. They want to live where they don't have to be dependent on government, but that they can go after their hopes and dreams and that they can buy a home. And so people are starting to move to other areas to make that happen.
Yeah, Denver, I should make one quick correction, which is that Denver is the number 12 city, not that Colorado is the number 12 state. Colorado is almost, like I say, in stasis in terms of people moving in and people moving out. Now, that doesn't mean the population is steady because, of course, you know, we're always having more kids. But
immigrants.
that's true, too. But even just on the, you know, just on leaving that aside, We're about, you know, even in terms of people moving and improving. But Denver now is number 12 for people moving out, and that's up from number 18 in the previous survey. So people are simply finding the place not to be as affordable. And you're right. A lot of it has to do with sort of cumulative decisions that are made to make the almost in some cases deliberately to make the place less affordable. And I'll give you an example. One of your sponsors, you know, about energy. You know, the approach that we have taken to energy without getting into you know, a great deal of specifics. Everybody knows their gas bill's gone up. Everybody knows their electric bill has gone up, and that contributes to a place being unaffordable. And it's essentially an incoherent policy, because if you want people to work at home, then you have to have a reliable grid. If you want people not to be on the roads, you want people to, you know, when they can work at home, to be able to work, and they need to have a reliable grid. Otherwise, you know, you can't get online. So, and yet we are making that grid more fragile and less reliable and more expensive. And all of that at the same time that we're making it more expensive. So it's essentially an incoherent policy. And as you pointed out before, by artificially limiting growth to what they call existing transportation corridors, that's where they tend to throw these urban development zones around, you know, highways and existing roads and so forth. You're making traffic worse. You're removing people's ability to choose a better quality of life. You're driving up housing costs. You're not driving down housing costs. You're driving up housing costs, and you're denying people the ability to aspire to something more. It's really soul crushing stuff. In addition to just being bad economics, it really is the kind of thing that leads people to expect less out of life than they have a right to expect.
Well, and you talk about some solutions and in your piece here that you, people can find it at Complete Colorado. It's titled Denver Swimming in Sales Tax Revenue and Now It Wants More. And you said building tort reform and encouraging more housing construction, especially outside the transportation corridors, remain off the table for Denver, the Denver Regional Council of Governments, and the state government as a matter of policy. And when I was on city council, I got to know this Denver Regional Council of Governments. It's called Dr. Cog, and it's kind of a quasi-governmental entity. And there are electeds that are on the council, but it's really more unelected, unaccountable decisions that are being made. And initially, it was a lot of the transportation dollars that would be coming back to Colorado from the federal government. Dr. Cog was doling out that money. But as, again, this was 2012 to 2016, I really saw this agenda. What they were trying to do was to use these transportation dollars that were supposed to be coming back for our roads and bridges to social engineer people into the light rail corridors, these 4 and 5 story apartment buildings, really kind of it was that global planning kind of stuff. And a lot of that I saw coming through the Denver Regional Council of Governments, Joshua.
No question. And Denver, of course, is one vote there. It's an important vote, and it has simply, and it's part of it, you know, it's completely, on board with all of that. No, and now what's happened, of course, is that there was a couple of years ago, the legislature passed a bill requiring the CDOT, the Colorado Department of Transportation, to take quote unquote sustainability and sort of this kind of planning into account when it was approving transportation projects and when it was doling out its own transportation money. So now what's happened is that you have this integration from the federal to the state to the regional to the local of this you have this integration of policy that makes it very difficult now to break out of. It makes it very difficult to if for instance Adams County decided, well, you know, we have this whole eastern part of the county we'd like to, you know, there's no reason people can't live out there, and it decided that it wanted to develop more of that, it becomes very difficult for them to do that. Because if they're part of Dr. Cog, because it becomes there are multiple levels of funneling where the money goes that keep them from being able to do that in the same way that they would be able to develop, you know, as you say, apartment mm-hmm. buildings over light rail stations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. We have so much more to talk about, Joshua Scharf. We're out of time. You write such important pieces, and they can be found at Complete Colorado. Joshua Scharf, that's S-H-A-R-F. What's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, just that there's no reason we have to settle for this. You know, we can choose not to raise these taxes. We can choose to limit the size of government. We can choose to say no. If you want to do this, and we're not sure that it's good, but if you want to do this, you're going to have to do it with existing money, because we also have to pay for our own families, and we have to take care of ourselves. We have the power to stop this.
Okay, well, we're going to stay on that, Joshua Scharf. So thank you. We will have you back on very soon. And that is Joshua Scharf, and he is the Senior Fellow in Fiscal Policy at the Independence Institute. Joshua, thank you.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's been a lot of fun.
It's always a pleasure. And the USMC Memorial Foundation, be sure and get your tickets for their event for August 24th for their 47th anniversary. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a great concert by Dave Bray USA, and you can meet Jim Blaine and Al Jennings, World War II veterans. Drew Dix is planning on coming up from the Center for American Values. He's a Medal of Honor recipient. It is going to be a great event, so be sure and check that out at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And we get to do all this because of our sponsors. One of those is John Boson with Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999. 9999.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Frankdown Firearms has everything you need to get your concealed carry permit in one place for one low price. Frankdown believes that while classroom instruction is good, realistic, detailed training is much better and required. That's why they do live fire CCW training on their spacious 10-lane, 30-yard range, where your instructor is there to offer one-on-one help and direction if you need it. Their instruction far exceeds the training you'd expect, and their certified and experienced staff and instructors range from law enforcement professionals to Green Berets. And if you've already gotten your concealed carry permit, Franktown is a great place to keep developing your skill. That way you and your family stay smart, agile, and safe in an evolving security environment. Shooting is a skill you can lose if you're out of practice. And the last place you want to be rusty is in an emergency. Go get your CCW training scheduled with Franktown Firearms today by going to klzradio.com/Franktown.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for a weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. A few weeks ago, we had on the line with us Harrison Floyd. He's with the Statesman Project. He was explaining this court case that was occurring right here in Denver in Colorado Federal District Court, and it was the NAACP versus USEIP, and it was actually a First Amendment lawsuit, and it actually ended up being a lawsuit against three individuals, Holly Case and Sean Smith and Ashley Epp. And Holly is a friend of mine, and we've stayed in contact. She's been working on this
for a couple of years. Holly Kaysen, we're doing a late breaking, just quick 10 minutes, and then you're going to be a featured guest next week. But we wanted people to know what happened because this is monumental. Holly Kaysen, welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, Kim. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction. I'm happy to be here. And I wanted to thank you and all your listeners for their support throughout this process. As you mentioned, we've been fighting this case since March of 2022. And last week, on Wednesday, that was day three of a scheduled 5-day trial, the judge awarded us a directed verdict in our favor, which was a very big deal. Because it meant that the judge had heard enough. Basically, the plaintiffs were allowed to give their full case. And once that was over, she said, essentially, what happened is the defendants and plaintiffs gave their closing arguments at that time, and we won the case without having to present any more information at trial.
But Holly, you have been working on this for, as you said, since 2022, and this has been taxing for you, not only from a financial standpoint, but from a just focus standpoint. But I guess set this up. People need to understand what you all were accused of.
Right. Well, in 2022, when the NAACP, the League of Women Voters, and Mi Familia Vota, and your listeners may recognize some of those names, they were the group backed by Free Speech for People, which is an activist law group out of Washington, D.C. They've been pairing up around the U.S. in different combinations to bring the lawsuits around elections. You know, sometimes it's voter intimidation, and sometimes it's, different types of election suits. And here in Colorado, Mi Familia Vota and Free Speech for People were the first petitioners on President Trump's 14th Amendment case. So these people are everywhere, and they came after us alleging that Sean Ash and I were going door to door armed, intimidating minority voters, quote unquote, from their complaint at their homes, trying to suppress minority voters from voting in the next election. And at the beginning of the suit, the suit also included USEIP, which is just a free association of volunteers, normal citizens who are civically active. And it was quite a shock reading the allegations against us, because it was all false. I mean, it was wholly fabricated. And the biggest question people have is, well, if it was all fabricated, how on earth did it get all the way to trial? How come it hadn't gotten thrown out before? How come it got that far? And the reason why is because the plaintiffs, they lied to the judge, they lied in evidence, and they lied right at the right times to keep this lawsuit going. And if we wouldn't have fought all the way to the very end, they would have gotten away with it. And that tactic would have been codified in their playbook for other lawsuits that they could bring against other people.
And so basically, USEIP had just volunteers that went out and had the voter rolls, people that had voted, and you were just trying to ascertain if the vote that was recorded from that address, if that person actually lived there. Do I have that correct?
Yeah. Basically, what we were doing is folks were unsure about what happened in the 2020 election. They weren't sure, you know, that they believed what they were hearing. And one of the ways that folks wanted to get involved was to canvass their own neighborhoods. And the project that USEIP set up was a canvassing project that anybody could do. We basically set up the framework and explained how to do canvassing legally and in a consistent way that gathered the right type of data for us to be able to build a report. So what happened is volunteers were given the Secretary of State's voter roll information, and they went door to door. And there's a lot more structure around this, but I'm shorthanding it. They went door to door and asked voters to confirm the Secretary of State's public voter roll records. And it was very simple. Just, are you the person who lives here? Did you vote in the last election? It says your record says you did. How did you return your ballot? You know, was it by mail or in person? And what is your party affiliation? And the reason why we asked all of those questions is because those are the data points that we could confirm on the Secretary of State's own public record. So,
Did you find anomalies?
We sure did. We found between an 8% and 10%, and that 8% and 11%, I would say that's conservative, a set of anomalies. And the anomalies included some people said they had voted and there was no vote on the Secretary of State's voter roll recorded in their name. And then the opposite, some people said they didn't vote and there was a vote cast in their name. There were changes in people's party affiliation that they did that the person did not authorize or do themselves, you know. And so when we say there was an 8 to 10% anomaly rate, those are the types of issues that were surfaced. Now, once we gathered all the data and analyzed it, we created the Colorado report. And I'll admit the USEIP website is a little dated because
you've been busy with other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it really, really stopped our support and advocacy for and our political activity, you know, our civic activity. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was political activity. I would say it was civic activity. But I'm getting to the point that you can still read and download the Colorado report from the USEIP website. It's USEIP.org. Okay. So if you're interested in seeing what we actually found, it's still there.
Okay. Well, Holly, we wanted to get this on because this just happened. This is so important and so exciting. And I've been praying for you and Sean and Ash every day. But you're going to be our featured guest next Monday. So people, listeners, please stay tuned because we'll have more details. Holly, congratulations. This is fantastic news.
Thank you so much, Kim. And I did feel your prayers. I told everybody, you know, we've got a lot of prayer warriors with us out there. And there were so many things that happened in this case and through these proceedings that I have to acknowledge. I think it was your prayers that got us through. I really do.
The good Lord has his hand on us, and we must stand up and do this. Holly Casey, you are a hero. We'll talk to you next week. And our quote for the end of the show is from George Patton. He said, you need to overcome the tug of people against you as you reach for high goals. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.